Hi guys, this is the second episode of Simple Ken, which is insane because I didn't think it would get the response it did. It is very sweet response. So welcome to a very long recording of me talking. So, first of all, I have been thinking about doing a long recording of me talking for like over a year now. And I was very nervous because when you do stand up for so long, you judge how interesting you are by how much you can hold someone's how. I'm South Indian, so I keep saying how. How much attention you can hold. So, as a comedian, you're literally defined by I have 5 minutes. Of being interesting. I have 10 minutes of being funny. So doing something for like an hour seemed very scary. Especially because I wanted to do it alone. Because my life is like that. And also because it's more challenging to be engaging alone. But you guys have been very sweet. I was really expecting some brutal ass comments. But it was overwhelmingly positive. Which I'm also happy for. Because the main goal of the long recording of me talking was that it should be free. So I'm self-producing this so that it's there on every platform. So it'll have been really sad if I put this money into this project and you guys shat on me. And you didn't. So thank you for not shitting on me and being kind. And I will get better at this. Hopefully, I don't know what better is though, because some of you were like, this is it, this is the podcast. And I'm like, no, don't be so nice also. So thank you again. I really mean it. I think a lot of people who comment think that we don't need to hear it, but please just tell all of us are just constantly questioning everything we do. So the podcast, the long recording of me talking being positively received was great. Now I want to start off. The reason I want to talk about being liked is I saw a very interesting comment where two people, I read every comment. Two people said that, man, Kenny, I didn't know you had such a negative side. And you must be not as fun to hang out with as I thought originally. First of all, what a horrible thing to say to someone. Second, it's very interesting how being negative about anything on social media or YouTube is considered a bad thing. Dude, everyone is not positive all the time. And if you think someone is good because they're positive all the time, they're probably a sociopath because normal people are not happy all the time. And if you follow people, someone because they're positive and you don't follow someone because they're occasionally quote unquote negative, it's not real, man. And it took me a long time to realize this. I was so scared of being non-positive or negative that I just was like, happy Kenny. And then I realized all my Instagram messages were just people saying, I wish I was as happy as you. I'm like, no wonder people get depressed because you think I'm happy all the time. And lo, if Kenny's happy all the time, maybe I can be happy. No, I'm not happy all the time. And whatever I post is not real. And you might think this podcast is real. It's not. I edit out the shit that's too messed up. And only Asher is the only one who's heard all of the messed up shit I'm saying. So none of it is real. So if you gravitate towards positive things only online, then you're going to get depressed, buddy. Also, don't be so mean to me. I don't mean anything I say. It's just jokes. Except that Shriyank though, who should drown. And obviously slam poetry still sucks. I got, again, two comments. Who are these two people? I think they're friends. Who got very upset. Saying that slam poetry is an art, it seems. Like, no, it's not. It's not. Now that I've warned you about slam poetry, this is pretty early on. Usually during the show, it's in the end. But I just want most of you to not experience the horror of slam poetry. If you are doing slam poetry, do something else. Okay, cool. Now let's... what did I do this week? I did a lot of things. First of all, I was just... This whole week was amazing for me because I was so happy that you guys liked the podcast. And I actually didn't pimp it out. Oh, I said podcast. I mean long recording of me talking. Oh, the thing I wanted to bring up with the positive thing is that... You know the positive voice? So what I'm doing right now is the positive voice, which is everywhere on the internet. When... It's the radio voice, basically, where before they start rolling, everyone's like, yeah, so what happened? No, I was just at home. Yeah, there's a lot of... Hi, guys, welcome to the show. That's positive voice. And everyone on Instagram or YouTube uses the positive voice. It's when you sound higher pitch and happier than you are. And that's not real. But unfortunately, bizarrely, if you talk in a real voice, it sounds boring. If you don't fluctuate your voice, you tune off. That's why the teacher in your school is so boring because they're in a monotone. But that's confused for being in a good mood. And it's the cancer of entertainment. Anytime you do a show or an ad or a scene, and the director is like, more energy, what he's saying is be more positive and be more energetic. Because that's, I don't know, very... palatable, I guess. It's very... It looks good on camera. Whenever I take a story on Instagram, I'm... My eyes are up. My eyes are big. I'm smiling and I'm energetic. Because that story translates well. So if you mistake that as me being happy all the time, obviously that makes sense. But I just want you to know that it's not real. So... And all the guys and girls you follow... and not happy, and it's not sad, it's normal. People are complex, so a person can be happy and sad. Okay, Annie Shalu Antony. I wonder if she's Malayali. Hi Kenny, do you watch Malayalam movies? Yes, I do. If yes, who's your favorite Malayalam actor and actress? I don't watch as much as I should, but there's an amazing movie called Kumbulangi Nights, which is on Netflix. If I'm not wrong, and that movie is fantastic. And my favorite actor is Fasil in it. He's fantastic and so brilliant. I don't want to give it away, but please watch that movie. My favorite actress is Shobhana, because Manichitra Taram, and she's a legend. But Kumbulangi Nights and Super Deluxe is a movie you should 100% see. Both are on Netflix or on Amazon. I don't know which one. Both are great movies. And I feel guilty for not seeing enough Malayalam movies. You know, I whine a lot about the Hindi-speaking North Indian audience not supporting South Indian stuff when I'm not supporting South Indian stuff as much as I should. Another question is from Supraja Sridhar. She says, I'm listening to this while drawing. You must have rich parents. Please tell us about your experience in art college in your next podcast. It's not a podcast. It's a long recording of me talking. Tight chaddies and tight butt. Simple game. Which turns out is not too bad a name, Mr. Kanan Gill. Huh? turns out people are fine with it. So I guess it's ironic. My experience in art college, this question also was interesting because I'm so lucky that I did arts. I'm so lucky. I had such a wonderful college experience. I was around people who drew and sketched and played music, and I had one subject per week, and my semester submission was just paintings. And that's an amazing, amazing life. And the ratio, the gender ratio was great. It was 50-50. Actually, more girls were in my college than guys. So it was an amazing, positive, warm college. And my college is Karnataka Chitrakala Parishad. I'm not saying it's a great college. I'm just saying the vibe was great. Apparently, my college is known for... You get that green stuff, no? It's known for that. Apart from multiple things. And I didn't smoke any of that. I know you don't believe me, but I didn't. But I'll give you an example of how wonderful my college was. when it rained, people got out of their class and enjoyed the rain. I'm not exaggerating. It was like some Three Idiots kind of scene where I can't believe I quoted that movie, but people just appreciated small things. If a dog walked into the campus, that dog was given so much love. And I really blossomed in art college. But it's a terrible thing to do if you want a job or a career. I don't have a job from that degree. So please don't do that degree unless you have connections and you're multi-talented and you have other avenues to make money. But man, that college, that placements was just, there was no placements in my college. My placements in my college was, it used to place you correctly ego-wise that you won't get a job. So Niven Abraham, I think he's also Malayali. I think today's South Indian special. Ask, hey Kenny, can you talk about the hardships you faced and the way you got through people's criticism and negativity? Basically on how to stay positive. I think that's like the theme of this decade. How to stay positive. I don't know, man. Like, I don't go through criticism well. And there's so much negativity. Like, I opened this episode with how two guys said some horrible shit about me. I did acknowledge that 3,000 of you said wonderful things. But it's so hard and I don't know how I don't crack. It ruins my day sometimes. I don't know, man. I just have patience and I'm, I guess, idealistic and I keep going. But you don't always have to stay positive. If someone's being a negative ass piece of shit, just tell them that. I block people, by the way. A lot of people don't think it's the right thing to do, but I straight up, if anyone comes up in my business, I block them. Because I'm like, you think I don't know that I'm not the best at what I do? I'm trying. And if someone has nothing nice to say, but they go out of the way to say something horrible to you, I just block them. There's no negotiation there. Basically, if you met me in person, how would you talk to me? I think you would give me criticism in a much better way. Because, you know, a person is a human being and you don't want to be unnecessarily rude and mean to them. I guess that's a good metric, I guess, that if you comment on what I do online and if you didn't write it the way if you had met me in person, then I just think you're a piece of shit. I don't know, man. There are days when things are very hard and I get imposter syndrome, which if you read is a pretty interesting thing that a lot of people go through, which is you feel like a fraud and you're like, wait till people figure out that I don't know what I'm doing. It's a horrible feeling when, especially when you've worked really hard and you've reached somewhere in your career, but you still feel like, I think I'm got lucky and I'm stupid and it's actually just a series of good consequences that have, which is also not false. Like, luck is a big thing that comes into play. When days are bad, man, you just hate everyone. And genuinely, a lot of people are horrible, but there are a lot of nice people also. And I'm very lucky that those nice people are my immediate neighbors. Again, Saklain Islam asked me, man, Saklain is such a great name. Almost as good as Ashyar. Ashyar just knows. He just knows when I'm going to look at him. Saklain! Saklain says, obviously, when you were young, there's no way you dreamt of becoming a comedian. So what all hardships and agony you endured before deciding this is what you want to do in life? Also, didn't everybody discourage you about your choice of career? How do you cope with that? And what was your family's role in your success? We get this question a lot. That's why I thought I'll just answer this. My family was extremely supportive. So I'm very lucky. They're just good people. My dad's very cute. My dad's very supportive of my jokes. He saw the latest Chai Time episode I put. And then this is what he said. My dad, no. He gives full feedback. Huh? My dad said, during your last Chai Time, some girl mentioned that ladies' jeans don't have pockets. Here is one. And he sends me a picture of a lady wearing jeans. My dad is so cute. He said, good Chai Time. At the start, you were a little fast and casual. But later, the speed and diction moved into the professional delivery style. Oh my God, this is my father, guys. And he's supportive. So you don't choose your parents, but if you have lovely parents, you should be so glad. And I'm very happy and lucky that my parents are cool. But to be fair, it's not like my parents supported any shit I did. I was financially independent by 11th and 12th. Technically, probably by first year college. So my parents are like, oh, this guy can figure it out. So I kind of gave them the confidence of like, I'm doing some weird shit, but I'm making money off it and I'm not going to ask you for money, but let me stay in your house. I think if you don't have a job and you're like, I want to be a photographer, and then you still live off your parents, then that's not cool. Also, you'll notice that I talk a lot about financial stuff. It's because I was raised that way. And I wish I was not so financially focused, but this is my therapy coming out. I'm just built that way. I was raised being told this costs this much. Don't waste because this costs this much money. And we don't have money. Oh, now we have money. So it took me a long time to get over that. That's a good segue to bring on my guest, who I have learned on how to spend money. He is a person who is a very good friend of mine. Amazing writer. And he hates podcasts. So with silence, can we bring up the first guest of Simple Ken, the first supporter of the show, Mr. Kanan Gill.
Oh.
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 Hi, man.
Hey. You know what's funny is I didn't acknowledge that there's an extra mic.
Yeah.
So the audience is like, what's with the extra mic? So did you see the first episode?
I saw the starting, yeah.
Did you see your mention?
I did, because you told me that you mentioned me, but I feel like you misrepresented what I said.
I said...
You said Kanan didn't like the title.
Yeah.
Which is not true. I said I hated the title. I hated it so much because then you tried to explain it. I was like, what the fuck is Simpleton? And you're like, no, I mean Simpleton. I was like, that's worse. That's worse that you're trying to find a pun for Simpleton, which is not even a good pun for a thing that shouldn't exist. And here we are.
And you said I was negative. So we have Kanan Gill, who I'm very happy is here with me, because it means a lot, because Kanan hates podcasts.
Yes. Hate is a strong word.
It's a strong word.
It's not strong enough, though. Loathe.
Which I completely agree. There are most podcasts shouldn't be there.
Yes.
And
so why is this different?
I don't know, man. I'm trying. I will not say this is a good show, but my goal is to put something good eventually.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And hopefully... See, I felt if it gives someone company on the way to their work,
yeah,
and if it's relatable to India.
Well, you got to think about like what is the kind of content you are designing. Are you designing background music for people who are trying to sleep or who don't want to hear traffic noise?
Yeah.
Is that the best use of your creativity?
Well, internally, it helps with being engaging by myself.
Or is it really to fill this endless need that you feel like you're not doing enough? So here's one more thing I'll do.
Oh my God.
I'll stay in the game for a long time. Don't forget about me. Kenneth Sebastian, signing out. Never forget.
Oh, that's also there. That's definitely it. Dude, it's so... I slept very well. After this episode came out.
Not a surprise.
Yeah. I was like, hey, I did something.
Yeah, of course. It feels good to do something.
It feels... Hey, you know what? Is that a bad thing? I feel I have to accept the fact that I get joy from doing things.
Yeah, joy from doing things is absolutely acceptable. But the place between joy should not be sadness.
Okay.
It's like joy and then content and then joy and then content.
Yeah.
And then you can keep it at a manageable level.
True.
I thought we weren't allowed to give advice.
No, you're giving me advice.
Okay, that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can't give anyone else advice.
Okay, fair enough.
Because see, I know you. Huh. And I said in the last episode, if you have not done anything worthwhile in your life, you should not give. But you have. So I have a lot to learn from
you. It's debatable.
So you're my friend. So you can give me advice.
Yeah, sure, dude.
And I can give you advice. But we can't give anyone else.
Let's do this.
Advice. So you, whatever you tell me is directly directed to me.
Okay.
So you said the joy thing.
Yeah.
It's for me.
Yeah.
Not for anyone else.
It's for you.
By mistake also, if you get...
Everyone else should feel sad all the time. Or not.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
We're not giving advice.
We can't give anything.
Hmm.
So.
Also, I was listening to the podcast until now. Here's a new thing you can try.
Yeah.
You know, you can disable comments everywhere.
You know.
I've done that. And I'm like, yeah.
I know. No, I agree with what you're saying.
Because the good things feel good, and then the bad things feel worse than they are. And either way, you've done it, and people who want to can see it. What's there to talk about?
I think I want something in the middle. Like, completely disabling is very extreme, and keeping it completely open is also very extreme.
Like, people have full license to talk about what you made in their own circle.
Correct.
And they will.
They'll do that.
But why at you with each other in the context? Because I found when I start watching YouTube videos, the comments always load below before the video view.
Yeah, man.
So you read the top five comments.
Yeah.
And it's already colored your perception of the video before it started.
True.
I used to have this Grease Monkey browser extension, which changed all the comments to blah, 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 blah.
Oh.
Literally the words blah.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. But I think now, at least at this place in your career where you're doing well and you have... whatever this is. you have a special on YouTube. You have different stand-up clips on YouTube. You have a special on Amazon Prime. You have a special coming on Netflix.
Oh, so are you, Mr. Gilles.
Yes. Ooh. And then you've done Comic Stand. We did Sketchy together.
Yeah.
You do Ken and Chip.
It's a good life, man.
You do this. You have an album which you never publicized. You did Diet Trying.
Yeah.
And so now I feel like, you know...
I don't, it's, I feel like you, YouTube, I feel like the comments are a part of the thing. It's not a separate thing, you know? Like, when you put something online, the great thing about online is discussion, which, like, you can't do that in films, right? When you watch a theater, there's no comment section.
Yeah.
And I think there's one, like, nice beauty to it. But I'm also, like, being hypocritical when I say that I do want, like, the haters to go away. So I'm in the middle. I completely agree that not everyone should be allowed to like say shit, because it does spread. Like the toxic stuff spreads faster than the positive stuff.
Oh, it's not even about what they should say and what they say about you. Yeah. I'm like, why have one more place for discussion when people's lives are inundated by conversation?
Yeah.
And everywhere you go, someone is trying to fucking talk to you. At least you come to a video or an Instagram and be assured it's this picture or video and that's all. You don't have to scroll down and see what interesting things have happened here also. Just fucking leave it.
You know, actually the evil answer is that I want them to stay on my page.
Oh.
Yeah, that's actually the real reason. Because
I like it when people have their celebrity moments in the comments. Like someone's comment gets a lot of likes and then they feel so happy.
Yeah.
Like, that's cool, man. Good for you.
So I think that's the real reason also comments was invented. So you stay there and then you have this mini universe that's related to this video.
Yeah.
And none of it is important. But I'm like, yeah, stay there and then watch other videos also.
Yeah.
I think when you're disabled, they're like, hey, I wanted to feel important. Now I can't.
If you really enjoyed something and all the comments were like, we don't like this, would you stop doing it?
Yeah, I would.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I would. Because, this is a very good topic. Yeah. Because I had this discussion in art school that there are two types of artists. Artists who paint for themselves and artists who paint for it to be experienced. And I've seen both genuine artists. I know there's an artist called Niaz Ahmed. He was this amazing guy in my class. Very quiet, very antisocial, shy guy. He used to sit and just paint. So when we used to have 16 paintings to submit, he used to submit 120.
Are you serious?
120.
Whoa.
So half the class was his paintings and half was the rest of the class.
What a guy, dude.
And he didn't care about anyone seeing his painting. He used to paint and leave.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he genuinely doesn't care. He paints for himself.
Yeah.
And then there were other artists who painted and be like, hey, do you like this? How does it make you feel? I'm that artist. I make because I want to see your reaction to it. And that makes me like excited. And then it's done. I have no value for it.
Okay.
The process is fun, but it's equally fun to see the reaction to it. Because I'll be lying if I said that I'm doing jokes for myself. I'm doing jokes because I want to see a reaction from you.
Right.
I don't know if that's like a good or bad thing. It's just that I need someone to hear what I have to say. And I need people to see... otherwise, I wouldn't. There are a lot of things I do, like music, that I've not shown everyone. And I'm happy doing it at home.
Right.
But these videos, I think I want people to see it and discuss. And,
okay, fair.
And it pays the bills, dude.
Yeah. Of course.
I mean, like,
if there wasn't a component of bill paying,
yeah,
and you were just doing a project for fun,
yeah,
and nobody liked it,
yeah,
would you stop it? You didn't have to. You can still pay your bills.
Okay. Yeah, like, this podcast is like, the long recording of me talking is like that. If people had not liked the first episode, I would have been sad. Hmm. But I would have done the second episode.
Yeah.
Because I genuinely had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah. But what about also, episode 3? They hate episode 2 also.
No, they're not going to hate this episode. That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
No, but I want to ask you, do you feel that? Like, would you do your Netflix special if no one saw it?
Probably, because if I've performed to so many people live, I know it's good.
But I'm I don't.
But think, like the desire to do stand up and where I go with stand up is completely for me.
But then you won't go to.
It's 100%.
But it's an audience.
Yeah, the audience has to be there.
Has to be there,
and so they have to tell you whether it's good or not.
Yeah,
so you can't escape from that. Correct. Because that's the nature of the art form.
Correct.
But what kind of jokes I decide to tell or where I decide to go craft wise,
yeah,
is fully what I feel like doing.
Yeah. But don't you think that...
Like a very...
Like what does it mean when a joke doesn't work?
It means...
Like it works for you, but the audience is not getting it.
Creatively, that didn't work. I mean, the nature, the construct, the thing we do is in a way that it has to work for them. Otherwise, it can't fit in your thing. You can't say audience is smart, audience is dumb or whatever. I get really mad when comedians say audience is too dumb. I'm like, no, you're dumb.
Versus read a paper.
Yeah, read a book. Once I made fun of some airport in some city, who cares?
Yeah.
And someone from the show afterwards was like, you think this is the best airport in India? Read a book. I was like, which book?
Was it Hyderabad?
I think it might have been like Jaipur or something.
Jaipur sucks. That airport sucks. I hate Jaipur.
A lot of airports are very bad. Very few of them are good.
Hyderabad is damn good.
Hyderabad is okay.
Bangalore is very good.
Bangalore is also okay.
If... Someone
Mumbai
doesn't like
a, T2 is very good.
If someone doesn't like an airport, does the airport still continue being an airport?
Or does the airport pack up? I'm like, I want to be a train anyway. Train station.
Yeah, so, okay, actually stand-up is a bad example because it has the element of the audience.
Stand-up is a bad example. And a very famous comic, Indian only, I won't say his name. But top of his game, he was like, yeah, Karan, you know what your problem is? Is that the audience has no idea what to expect from you. Every time
First
you
of
do
all,
a thing.
If anyone opens it, you know what your problem is. That's a horrible way to give.
It's in the middle of a conversation. Not I was walking on the street. Hey Karan, come in. You know what your problem is?
But you know, Karan, people admire you for the same reason that you don't do
but
jokes.
But I was like, yeah, that's very deliberate. That the fact that I do a thing, you like it. But where I go next is not up to you. It's up to me.
And all of us admire you because you do things that
but if you
don't
let
pander
it be
to
up,
the audience.
If you let it be up to them, then you start going in that direction. And they'll really love you. They'll love you more than they did before. And then you'll be boring. I know what this guy does.
Correct.
Is lame.
Yeah.
But as far as you, you're like, man, you're an enigma. I don't know what the fuck he's up to now.
True.
One of my favorite bands is the Arctic Monkeys.
Yeah.
Okay, when they came out, they were the band that was supposed to save British rock. They came out and there was a bunch of just, they were like 16 and they're just like, and everybody's like, this is the sound we need. You will save British rock. And they did two like amazing number one albums. And for the third album, they went into the desert and they made something nobody understood. It's a great album, but like commercially, everybody was like, huh?
Then
they come back with AM, which is, it killed.
Okay.
AM is there. Now it's like mainstream pop.
Okay.
And their last album is about a fictional hotel on the dark side of the moon, dude.
Wow.
All of the songs are about this hotel on the moon that doesn't exist. There's 10 songs about a hotel called Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. And you ask them, they were like, I don't know, man. It felt like the right thing to do at the time.
So it's like pure, only doing what we want to do.
Yeah. And people say one for you, one for me. I think that's bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, you decide. If it's for you, then all for you.
Yeah.
If it's for me, then all for me. And your audience might get shorter and smaller as you age.
But they'll be like a sweet audience.
Accept it.
Yeah.
Accept it. Fewer people will come for the journey every year.
True.
You got to be okay with it. You got to sell your Kawasaki Ninja. Maybe that day will come. At least you'll be happy inside.
No, dude. I've made too many smart investments.
I know you have.
Yeah.
I know you have.
I think I see it in a different way that... I think when we wrote Sketchy...
Yeah.
We didn't head headbutts at this, but...
Butt heads.
Headbutts.
You know, I wanna tell you one thing. I don't think I've told you. On a lot of interviews, you say this thing, freeballing, okay? Which is not a phrase, okay?
What?
You say freewheeling or spitballing. What the fuck is freeballing?
If then the ball is free to do what it wants to do.
In what game, dude?
Oh, freeballing is not a thing?
I have never heard it before.
Freewheeling and?
Spitballing.
Spitballing
is coming up with ideas. And freewheeling is not controlling where you go.
Okay.
Freeballing is just taking your underwear off and jiggling it. Hey, yo, I'm just freeballing today.
But is it free?
Kenya, you are wearing underwear. Nah, free balling. Oh man, that Kenya.
Free balling sounds like something in basketball. Hey guys, I'm just free ball.
Shirts with skins and they show up without shorts.
Do you stalk me that you've heard me say that so many times?
I saw your Journey of a Joke episode and then one more interview, and yeah, I watch almost everything you do, man.
He's such an ass, man.
I really like enjoying. There was a brand video Kenny did recently for some technology brand. Oh, and the first comment was me was saying, this tech brand sucks, name of brand. And then Kenny got mad at me.
There is... You know what's amazing about Canon and I is that we are so similar and different at the same time. We literally have polar opposite views of some things.
Something.
But we come together in a very perfect way.
Mm-hmm.
So even with Sketchy, what I was getting at was... Your approach was, let's do something that the audience would be like, what? And I should be like, yeah, we should do that, but they should also understand what we're
yes.
doing.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be like, what? I have no idea what's going on. It should be like, what just happened from what I was following on?
Yeah, yeah, fair. And that's, so we needed both those sides.
Yeah. So that's what I also feel with stand-up is, I obviously would be great if I could take them where they don't expect.
Hmm.
But I will never like completely alienate them. Because I'm like, I'm making it for them. Like, to be honest, like, I enjoy the the reaction, and I want them to feel like, I think, which is the same thing you're saying.
At the last special when I was touring with, I had a small crisis because I was like, the kind of bits I'm writing is now directly by the nature of the bit limiting the audience.
Yeah.
Everyone is not going to like this for sure. It's weird. Some of it is annoying and some of it is difficult.
Yeah.
And you might not want that.
Correct.
And I was like, I have to be okay with seeing the rooms get smaller if this is the kind of comedy I want to do.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that, dude.
Do you think you could do the same topic but still find the universal connect?
And it is my job. I'm trying to make the joke connect as much as possible. But if I decide this has to be an audio joke where I play stuff through my phone and people are just going to get annoyed at that, I'm like, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm going to put an interval in the show, but it's the audience doesn't get to leave. I'm like, that's what's going to happen.
Man, your show is so fun. Can't wait for it to come out.
Can't wait for your show to come out, man.
Hey, man. It's going to be so cool. Man, isn't it ridiculous? We both have Netflix specials.
Man, what flexes?
What flexing we're doing. That's so cool, man. It's so insane because we know each other for so long. And we're getting Netflix specials. We did 5 projects for Amazon.
I think I did more than 5.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, a lot.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is a very cool question. Havish K asks,
yes.
Can a person become funny by practice, or does it have to be innate?
Of course you can become funny by practice.
No, I don't think so.
I think you can become funny by practice, but the desire to be funny in situations is innate.
Huh, so then you're saying...
But you funny, can learn the mechanics and be not, learn how to write great jokes, but you wouldn't choose to be the funny guy in situations.
Huh.
You wouldn't have the drive to create something funny.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Huh.
Like, but you could learn on paper.
But then that's not, there's one hollowness to that kind of funny person, no? You know what I mean? When someone's like technically funny, you can feel one, there's no heart in it. It's just like, oh, I know it's funny because he said this and he said this. But like people are like innately funny and have practice. You're just like, I don't
know. Yeah, and those people turn out to be legends, but it's like, there's so few of them. There's so few people like that.
I know, but I mean, the question here is,
I will say yes, Havishke, and Kenny will say no. Is that fair?
It's not the... You don't have to resolve it.
I will say yes, you can become funny by practice. Creativity is something everybody has. Don't listen to the haters. Yes, someone will be more creative than you or less, but that doesn't mean you don't get to be creative at all. Of course you do.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, what I'm saying is not to discourage anyone. It's the very fact of consoling yourself that you could be super creative and practice a lot. But that some persons innately just picks up a violin when they're 6 while you're like 40 years old and you took really long to learn a violin.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, don't beat yourself up because people are innately have advantages like gifts.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and it's okay. That's how the world is. Like, you might be something... Just find out what comes really easy.
Yeah, ages ago, I read a book like Left Hand... artist... tend to be, by pretty extraordinary margin, left-handed or ambidextrous.
You know, both of us are. You know, it's crazy.
Right hand 5.
It's crazy.
Or like there's something different. But that, I also think, is the kind of people who choose to do this and rise to prominence. I think creativity flows through everybody. Just give it time.
And I don't know if it's related, but people who have different names tend to also do creative things. So if you have a bizarre name that everyone else doesn't have, it subconsciously builds, because you're constantly told you're different. Because if you have like a name called Ashyar, and and then you're sitting in class and they're like, Rohit, Karan, Ashyar, and you always like, you always feel people.
And
like,
he's in a booth in the class.
Just mixing.
You're like, yes. Present.
Dude, it'll be so funny if Ashyar gets in a fight with his girlfriend and he's like, there's no input. There's no input.
Come out of the booth and talk to me.
You're always inside your booth.
Sorry, can you do that once more? I lost your audio.
Sorry, I didn't save that. Oh, man. So it just builds. So you're like, you know what? Maybe I'm different. And,
yeah.
And you tend to gravitate towards a group of people who are different from the thing, a profession that's different from the thing. So it's pretty cool how small things, you know, free ball.
And I'm free balling.
Okay, this I just took for like masala. I took for masala, okay. Madhuri Sajid says, how to dress another guy again after being cheated on. Don't.
Yeah, don't do it.
Just don't do it.
Yeah.
The end.
Like we both said, don't do it.
Yeah.
Abdul Rahman, 6 hours ago, how do you avoid the people who spread negative vibe? Or to be very specific, how do you deal with negative comment? Okay.
I'll speak from my experience.
Okay.
What happens is I bottle all of the negative comments I get.
Hmm.
And then usually what happens is some unknowing person like meets me and then he's like, hey man, I like the video. And like, it's those weeks of reading negative shit. Like, you know what? If you didn't like it, why the fuck are you telling me? And then I raise a poor guy. But even his perspective is like, dude, take criticism.
Yeah.
But he doesn't understand the volume of criticism that comes. So I think what's happened to me is like, it's become like an open wound.
Yeah.
So while a regular person could take negative criticism, I'm like, I just can't. It's just an open wound and right. It constantly keeps getting open.
Right.
So I'm sorry that it's too hard. And,
right.
And I'm like, we're already so self-critical.
Yes.
And, you know, I know when something is bad.
Yeah.
I don't need like the comments to tell me it's bad.
Okay. So when people tell you something, I feel like you weigh it against how you think you are.
Yeah.
Right? Someone says great and you weigh this against you. Okay. Someone says great, you always think great, works. Someone says you suck, you think you're great, doesn't work. Okay, you fuck off.
Yeah.
But if someone says something and you don't know,
yeah,
I'm waiting to form.
Yeah.
So great means I'm great, negative means I suck.
Yeah.
Well, you're doing a disservice to yourself.
Hmm.
Who are you? You should know.
Yeah.
If someone says something negative about you, okay, but what are they saying? This video is bad. Okay.
Yeah.
They didn't like the video.
Yeah. You know, when it's that direct, it's much easier.
Yeah. If
when
someone says you suck, you should give up.
Yeah.
You're like, do I want to give up? No.
No, man.
Okay. What do I want to do? Improve. Well, okay. Well, that's all that comment is worth.
Yeah, but you multiply that by 6,000.
Multiply it by 6,000. It still feels like your whole life will feel like two people sitting in a room, right? None of those people are here.
Yeah.
You'll never meet them.
I know.
You'll never even see them on a bus or on the road.
Yeah.
So, while
we have not traveled in bus in long time. You can't use buses.
Only go by Kawasaki Ninja.
That's another thing. We can't use bus as an example.
You're not going to see them in your Uber pool or in your Ola share.
Yeah.
All right.
What? I don't take share or pool.
Man, Kenny, it's so hard to do relatable. They're not going to be time sharing your private jet. These people.
Finally, a reference I can understand.
They're not going to be meeting you at the Ducati conventions.
Oh, you know, by the way, your segue I brought on is that you are better at spending money than I am.
I wouldn't say better. I'd say the correct place lies between both of us somewhere.
In the middle, right?
About, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
No, but like I want to learn like how to like enjoy the fruits of the work.
Yeah, of
I'm
course,
too frugal should. And like stingy and guilty. So if I, what I'm trying to say is like I'm not the fancy one, you're the fancy one. Okay.
I don't have a Kawasaki Ninja, dude.
But you should be riding one. You're going to get a Harley, no?
You told me not to, so I won't.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think we should summarize that.
Yeah.
okay. While people say good things and that's those,
they have to
good.
Give advice to me,
Kenny. While people say good things about you and those feel good, and people say bad things and that feels bad, and it should. You're a person.
Yeah,
that'll happen.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's a limit to how much.
The living of your life will not. You will not encounter those people and those things.
Yeah,
yeah. So this who you are.
Yeah,
is still up to you.
That's true.
Life is an adventure. We're all going to die. You really want to spend time thinking about what that guy said? No, right? So
that's some good shit, man.
Yeah. You'll die, dude. No, not you will. You will die one day, for sure. Unless you're a jellyfish. Shout out to jellyfish watching. Some jellyfishes don't die.
And yeah,
you
and
can say
sharks,
whatever you want to them and they'll carry those scars forever.
But they don't have a brain, just a central nervous system.
Exactly.
That feels pain, though.
Which is why they keep writing all these negative comments.
Yeah.
So, point is, feel bad, move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like sometimes psychopaths are like, I don't feel bad only. I'm like, that's crazy.
That's what I'm saying, that you're allowed to feel bad, but just somehow miraculously don't let it stop you. Because I think the most of the energy goes into just keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah, just keep going. I think the number one priority is just to keep going.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how bad or good it is, just keep going. And then you die. this is a very cute question from Yogesh.
Yogesh G.
What is the difference you have found between life in Bangalore and Mumbai? Because you have lived in both cities. I know this sounds like a very simple question, but I think Mumbai, I have felt, has a looming sense of what are you doing with your life? And Bangalore doesn't have that. Do you feel that? Or
immediately.
Yeah.
Like I moved to Bombay in 2015.
And you told me to move here.
And I was so miserable. So I tried to tell everybody to come. First, I convinced Biswal, I was like, we have to go to Bombay.
Yeah.
And he was like, theek hai. And then he and I came and I hated it so much because there's so much stress in the world.
Yeah.
Like if you do a thing, someone, you'll meet someone in the evening after finishing two big projects and they'll be like, okay, so what are you doing now? I'm like, man, I just did something.
Yeah.
And in Bangalore, if you did anything, people would be like, wow, Macha, how you did?
I know, right?
Wow, crazy.
Like, wow. That's true. Like,
there's no appreciation here for completing something. And there's only appreciation there. And so we need a middle city.
But now you like can't Pune. Go back. Now if you go back to Bangalore and someone says, wow, how you did all this? You're like, hey, you don't know anything from Bangalore.
Now I go back and I get it. You guys not doing anything?
Yeah.
There's so many things to do. There's no time. How many people have a podcast? How many people have a podcast? Not one of you has a podcast. Ha, they'll forget you, man. Quickly.
You know what this podcast has that other podcasts don't have?
Me.
I was going to say editing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think, again, for someone else, Bangalore would be damn hectic compared to Kochi. Because nothing happens in Cochin. But yeah, Mumbai, it's been very good to us, this city.
Of course it has.
It's given us a lot.
Yeah.
But it's also taken.
It's taken a fair chunks of our minds, this city.
Yeah?
Yeah, I feel.
I don't want to interrupt you.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I brought this up because. So, I don't want to name her because I don't want you guys to troll her. But she said, I have lost respect for you in one video.
Which is enough time.
Yeah.
It's a pretty long video. If you had to lose respect, I could lose respect for you like that. If I see you freeballing, Kenny, respect is over. I really hope freeballing is not really a thing and then I am the idiot
in
this
what?
Video.
You know what? Let's check.
Oh, you have Wi-Fi? Oh,
so you're convinced, man. No, that freeballing is not a word?
I am convinced, yes.
Yeah.
Well, even if it is, it's not what you think.
What? Well, I think freeballing is just saying something and seeing how it goes.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. I think you mean freewheeling.
Okay.
Or speedballing. Freeballing, going without undershorts, said of a male, because so-called because his balls hang free and unencumbered.
Okay.
Oh, man. There's a Quora question, how to get used to freeballing. Boxers will tone down your penis out.
So you were right. The exaggerated meaning you thought you were making
man.
Up is the correct answer. Okay, so maybe freeballing was...
Okay, yes. Okay. So, this person has lost respect for you in one video.
You insult slam poetry without knowing that it's a vital mode of expression for a lot of people. Okay, she's genuinely upset. Please know every aspect of something before you comment on it. I don't know every aspect of it. You are fair and you're more than More than welcome to get pissed.
Kenny.
But slam poetry is...
What's your problem with slam, dude?
How can it be the most vital mode of expression? Over free speech?
For a lot of people.
Man.
Kenny, don't do this. Don't be this guy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You like slam poetry?
No, my fucking... Okay, I make a lot of fun of slam poetry, but not only because my friends think it's funny. Like, okay. I don't actually knock anyone doing slam. Because I know it's... Because as comedians, our nature is to be cynical about people honestly expressing themselves, right?
Yeah.
So because we have to honestly express ourselves and people have to laugh also.
That's
it's
true.
Fucking difficult.
So it's damn pissing off when they don't do that.
When they just say their feelings and that's the end of
you're
it.
Like, what?
And it's annoying for us because you're like, man, you're not doing the difficult part.
Yeah.
But if people want to express themselves in a certain way, they should go ahead. What I will say, and what this commenter can also agree, is that most of it is bad.
I went for slam poetry open mic.
Most of it is bad.
It's very bad.
Yeah, but that's if you go to any comedy open mic also, most of it is bad.
That's true.
Right? So we're yet to see the stars. We have a few stars, but we're yet to have like an established... Enough amazing slam poets.
Imagine slam poet stars. I'm sure
there are.
I know sound very.
Yeah, there are Indian slam poet stars, and there will be more. But for now, most of it is bad.
That's true.
And that's just a thing that's true with comedy also.
True,
but it's fun to do slam poetry just improvised on the spot because it's just. I think it's a comic, like it's an ability we have.
Which
it freaks people out that you can just make slam poetry on the spot. Like you can do that with indie songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not.
You want to do a slam poet?
Yeah, sure. What's the subject?
You were not hugged in.
Like, let's ask Aisha.
Aisha, what's the slam poetry topic?
Slam poetry.
No, don't do this.
No,
meta.
Don't do
shit.
Come on.
Okay, fine. Slam poetry. Slam poetry. Free wheel. Free ball. Confined. Slam, you hit me. Slam, I take it. Slam, all night. But then the sun rises and I believe. Slowly as my pen comes up my sleeve and I spill blood ink all over my paper. Oh, slam. I mean, it's, if I spend more than 3 seconds on it, I'm sure I could improve it.
Yeah, but do you feel better? Do you feel better? No, right?
I will confess, I write a lot of poetry.
Yeah, you do actually.
I don't show it to anyone.
That's the thing. You're.
I just keep it. So I used to make a lot of poets.
You
and
actually...
like my friends have this theory that you're... this is the same way homophobes hate gay people.
Oh.
I'm a closet poet.
Oh.
And that's why I'm unleashing my fury on slam.
Maybe...
Honestly, I know you hate indie music. And I was talking to someone like this. We won't name the name of the artist.
Yeah.
You hate because you consider what he does easy.
Yeah.
Okay. But like the fact is that he doesn't think what he does is easy.
True.
For him, it's the full limit of his artistic expression.
True.
So just because it comes easier to you.
No, I don't hate him. I just find it ridiculous the the situation that's created around this person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I obviously can't hate anyone.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, oh man, I spit on your hand.
Sorry. No. It's not the first time.
You kissed me on the mouth.
Oh,
dude.
You mother lover.
Kenneth Margaret Sebastian. You have kissed me on the lips.
I didn't know such
with
thing.
Your thin,
son of a
cold
bitch.
Lips. You smooched me in front of 300 people.
This story that he keeps trying to like propagate is not true.
Okay, it
and
was
he
an
said
accident.
He
okay, Kenny was coming to shake
say
my hands,
your goddamn
and then suddenly
lies.
He caught the back of my neck and he kissed me.
That's not. We were doing sketchy behavior.
Yeah,
on stage.
And I said, Kenny, what time are you coming for rehearsal? And he came up from behind me and he kissed me.
That's not what happened. We were doing the show in Canvas, and. This was the end scene where I had to cover his mouth and kiss him, and I jumped on him and I missed by a few centimeters. This fellow,
he put his hand here and then kissed here. I mean, like, man,
no, that's
nice
not
one. Nice one, Kenny.
Anyway, that I think that brings us to the end of this episode.
You don't want to, we've never had talked about our feelings about this episode that took place.
No, it didn't happen.
It weirds me out that you're so embarrassed about it. I mean, it's not like...
He's such a,
you're so
such
embarrassed
a manipulator.
About it.
Like, he knows how to push my buttons.
I was just...
See,
hey, I want to
doing
do
it right
thing.
Now.
I'm a professional. I came and learned my lines. And when we were writing the script, there was no part where they were like, Kenny leaps on Karan and smooches him with his thin, cold lips.
What an ass,
and
dude.
Then you did.
What
and
an ass.
I know we improvise. I know a lot of the show is improvised, but
he's so good at doing this.
You kissed me. I mean, I thought we'd talk about it after the show, but then you just left. And then I said, okay. And then before the next show, you were just freeballing in the green room. And I was like, Kenny, can we talk about this? And you were like, no, let's do the show again. So now we're doing the same sketch. And I'm expecting a kiss. And now there's no kiss. So, I mean, I don't understand. Like, do you like me? Do you not like me? You're going to kiss me? You're not going to kiss me? Where are we? Oh, where are we right now?
Such an ass. You've done this story 15 times.
You just tell me where we are.
Every time you make a new layered...
Because you refuse to tell the public.
Because it's not true. It happened by mistake. And there's no feelings involved.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for listening.
Cool.
And I'm very happy that Karan's on the podcast generally. It meant a lot to me that he's on it. Thank you for making time, Karan.
Happy to support you, man.
So sweet.
In all your endeavors.
Thank you. And you can hear this podcast on Apple, on Stitcher, on Spotify.
It's coming. I mean, they're listening to it right now.
No, that's what I thought. Yeah. But then they're listening on YouTube.
Oh.
So they're like, hey, man, I want to listen to it offline. So it's coming on Apple Podcast soon. Ooh. And Savan and Ghana also. And it's, by the way, it's self-produced. It's the purpose was to make sure it's free everywhere. Because I think what's a bigger crime than making a podcast is charging for it.
Or reading out sponsors for 15 minutes on a podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, the podcast starts. I know it's not going to be good. Someone comes with no energy and say, hey, thanks for listening to the podcast. Some horrible intro plays. And then for 15 minutes, like, this podcast is sponsored by... Tutty College of Engineering.
Actually, on that note, if there are any sponsors who want to sponsor this podcast.
Oh, yeah. You should sponsor. It's fucking Kenny Sebastian,
man.
You should get on board.
Yeah.
Who do you want? Who do you want as a sponsor? Who's your ideal sponsor?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Jockey.
Because really?
I use Jockey. And I wouldn't lie. I don't want to lie when I do brand work. I want to be honest. Like Jockey is good under.
They're going to make you pose in your chaddies, dude.
What? No.
Yeah, you won't get a free ball anymore.
Classic Mr. Gill, huh? Classic Mr. Gill. Cool, man. Thank you, guys. Bye. It's time for simple.